Blog Talk Radio.
We're shy of one horse.
You brought too many.
Thank you.
edge closer to 1,500 shows. Welcome. Welcome to the Hump Day Special. I'm your host, Mike Lewis Ingram, DJ Honeycomb, and as always, it is great to be with you. The Hump Day Special at Soul Tree Radio and Raw, proudly brought to you by BASNNewsroom.com and the Assassin of the Black Athlete Sports Network. Get all the good shit. The who, what, when, where, why, and how right now at www.BASNNewsroom.com. Shout out to the members of the Brother Man Network, wherever they may be. Radio Reggie in Richmond, Virginia. Ricky Hampton Sr. out in Detroit City. Michael Robertson in Oakland, California. The Orlando Ledbetter and Sonic Charles Jones in Philadelphia. Pat Freeman, the Mighty Obar, lording over Western New York. Rochester, Buffalo, and beyond. And, of course, yours truly here with the rest of the chefs, ready to lay down. I want to give a special shout-out to our youngin' Travis Singleton, who will soon be dropping some interesting stuff on us. We are behind Travis 100%. We love you, youngin'. Locker Room Interview will be the next joint that he comes out with, and we're going to have him on to get an exclusive insight on why he did this and what motivated him to do so. Shout out to Ma V up there in Boston as well. Anyway, since I don't have any cream tonic to drink, I love that stuff. I want to refer to my main man, the bad man from the East Bay, Gary Norris Gray. What up, G?
That's
two decades, the Black Athlete Sports Network has served as the definitive source for information about the black athlete. Whether it be historical or analytical, BASN has always celebrated the contributions of sport's most innovative and unique being, the black athlete. In 2016, as we relaunch blackathlete.com, look for more of the same from our unique set of writers and historians. We have been and always will be the soul of sports. We are BASN.
We are BASN.
Yes, we are. What's on your mind, G?
Okay, let me drop a couple of notes on you guys.
Okay. Yeah, baby, let's get in here. Online and ready to roll. I have looked at some preseason packages of highlights on ice.
Yes.
We'll see how nice they end up being. As we speak, we got Radio Reggie in effect. Reggie, can you hear us?
Hey, can y'all hear me okay?
Yeah, there you go.
What's up? I was going to
Michael,
say.
Michael, the Seattle Dragon is the spinning image of the Las Vegas Golden Knights. Because the way they drafted exactly the way the Knights did.
Okay.
So it's gonna be interesting to see how they play this year.
It will be. And before we get further reference on that, though, I want to speak to the captain of the MIG line, Tony McClain, who is in effect as well. T-Mac, can you hear us?
Kraken. What's up, guys?
Well,
you know, I think the NHL is doing this right. I think they're doing it right.
Mm-hmm.
When they influx with the Golden Knights,
yeah,
influx with the Dragon,
mm-hmm,
both are West Coast teams. Thank God. Both are good management. Thank God. And both should be winning organizations.
And I don't know if you guys saw the email I sent to you. There are going to be a bunch of games on during the regular season this year.
You know it.
Between the ESPN networks,
mm-hmm,
Hulu, and Turner, and the NHL Network. I mean, you're basically going to get maybe one, possibly two national games every night. And it's good to see. Let's face it, I'm still a little whatever in regard to see. I'll say this much, you know, for as good as NBC did do the NHL regular season wise, they didn't do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they had the Wednesday night game. They would have whatever, but listen, you know, right now there's going to be national games on pretty much every night, and that's just the early part of the schedule. They'll probably,
mm-hmm,
as teams play good, bad, or indifferent, they'll probably,
yep,
add more games as well. I want to see how they're going to do the playoffs, because NBC,
yeah,
NBC spoiled us with the playoffs because every game was on. So
they did.
You know, I want every game. I want every game on. Bottom line.
The back in 1994, 95, 96, what they did was very special. They had two games on each night. NBC did not do that.
Yeah, yeah.
NBC had that East Coast bias BS for 3 years. I don't think ESPN is going to fall into that trap.
Well, it was more
no.
so regular season. It was more so regular
yeah.
season. When the playoffs
mm-hmm.
hit, they have, you know, between them, NBC in its NBC between NBC, the NHL Network, and
NBC,
every game, and see they would put some on MSNBC and USA. Now, from what I can get, like I said, right now, it's ESPN, ABC, ESPN2, ESPN Plus, Hulu,
right,
and Turner. Now, I don't know. I think Turner is going to do just TBS, but that could change. But see, it's going to be interesting because, see, you know, you got to remember, TBS also does, I'm sorry, Turner also does,
right,
you know, the NBA. So
mm-hmm.
I'm interested to see how they're going to commingle with each other. And also ABC and ESPN also does the NBA as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see who's going to be sort of second banana. I'm guessing it's going to be the NHL, but we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
It's good for hockey either way, because now we're saturated with games, which means we'll get to see every team, you know.
Yeah.
The problem from where you were talking about in that 94 to 96 era was that we were inundated with East Coast games.
Yeah. We
never
saw I actually thought Versus was worse than NBC, to be quite
honest.
Oh,
yeah, they were terrible.
In that same time period, the Los Angeles Kings won 2 Stanley Cups. We never really got to see them.
Even in the playoffs, their games were always regulated to, like a CSNBC or NBC. They only got to the big channels when when they went farther in the playoff. And you know, unless you saw them now, I don't know how many people pick up the center ice thing. I mean, I'm sure in Canada it's probably a staple. And a lot of it depends on where you're at too, because you know, for all the guff that we do give them, Washington, Philly, Boston, New York, Chicago, they have a big fan. They have a big fan base for hockey.
Yes.
So that's why they were sort of given that preferential treatment. But see, now that the sport has allowed themselves to be spread out now, and adding Seattle basically takes up another part of the West Coast, because they already had between the California teams, and Vancouver and what have you, they had a little bit of a fan base. But now with Seattle, they'll add that, and probably even farther up in Canada
you will have an instant rivalry between Vancouver and Seattle.
Absolutely.
And that will affect everybody up north all the way to Alaska.
What the NHL should do now, I know I'm going to sound crazy here, but the NHL need to do now is to put a team in Quebec City, right?
Well, that's the plan. That's the plan. That's apparently because when they had, when Vegas won out, if you remember, it was Vegas, Quebec, and Seattle. Vegas won out because they basically had, they had 15,000 season ticket holders waiting over 2 years. To the NHL's credit, they've done it right. Vegas came in first, and I don't even think they expected it to be as successful as it was. Given their due.
They're not moving. Tampa Bay is a dynasty in the making. They're a little D dynasty.
The Florida
Panthers have already established their fans from the season where they were throwing rats all over the fucking place and shit like that. So they got a fan base. That's not the problem.
Last couple of years, their attendance has been really bad.
I think
them making the playoffs this year, and also the fact that they played the Lightning in the first round, that just heated up. That was sort of a simmering rivalry. Well, it wasn't really. Mm-hmm. Let's be honest, it hadn't really been a rivalry because Tampa was beaten up on them. More so, but they held their, they lost the series, but they held their own for the most part in that series.
He was playing really well.
I was telling this to Mike the other night. Unless they wake up during the playoffs with a serious outbreak of chlamydia, it's them to win, them to lose right now. And remember, And remember, they took a little bit of a hit with the expansion and, you know, letting guys walk through free agency or whatever. But again, the core of the team is there. You know, as long
That's
as
right.
the core, you know, as long as the core is there, they're going to be mm-hmm. fine. Now, I'm biased. There's only a handful of teams that I think if they step it up a notch could possibly knock them off. But I don't know. But like, you know, I don't know if the Islanders' time has passed or not. I'm still trying to figure out why they brought Lurch back to the team. I think the Islanders
could be the biggest challenge to the Tampa Bay or anybody in the East.
Yeah. You have to use the regular season for what it's worth, but let's face it, from April on is when the real season is. I mean, yeah, it's nice. It's nice to be able to, you know, would it be nice? It's nice to be able to knock them off a couple times during the regular season, but you want to do that stuff when it counts, you know?
Exactly. There's going to be some interesting subplots with this season because of trades and last-minute moves and stuff. And one of the more interesting ones is going to be in Chicago, where an original 16 is going to have as this first pair of defensemen, Caleb and Seth Jones, covering it. The Jones boys will be the first brothers, the first gold brothers to hold up ice when the puck drops for the Chicago Blackhawks. Now, that's intriguing. Now, these are both sons of former basketball player Popeye Jones. They learned how to play out in Colorado, and they're going to be there in Chicago. Now, you got to remember, Chicago, they did some fucked up shit to some of their black players. Remember, they had Akeem Olu and Dustin Byfuglien. And, of course, when Byfuglien went off in that playoff series, he cemented a reputation for himself. But Seth Jones is a whole nother animal. Seth Jones is a bona fide first-line defenseman. He was doing pretty much everything for the Columbus Blue Jackets. And they made the trade for his brother, Caleb. So Chicago seems to be set up for the next 5 years at least with these guys earning major ice time as the first pair on defense. Now, that's been done before, and it shows how far the Gold Brothers have become in terms of being prominent in the overall influence in the National Hockey League.
Well, what's so funny is, you know, when the Blackhawks signed him, he got the Ryan Howard treatment of, you know, they overpaid for him.
That's right. They did that nigga too much money. You know they were gonna say it.
Yeah. But see, again, I think, you know, historically, let's face it, historically, Chicago has always been in the mix. Now the last couple of years have been a little down because they're in transition. But you know that they're basically using the Jones boys and the other young players are going to be
the goaltender, I believe.
He's the backup. Yeah, he's the backup behind Crawford, if I remember correctly. But I mean, look, they'll, you know, let's put it this way. The diehard fans are always going to watch whatever and see. This is, I will say this. We do enough bashing of the mouse when they do something bad, but it looks like if they really, you know, thought this out when they signed when they signed the deal. And to be quite honest, they need it too, because now people are going to try to go for those ESPN Plus packages, you know, for both the hoops and for the hockey, if you're a hockey nut, you got a lot to look forward
hockey.
to.
If I disappear for 2 weeks, you know,
Well, yeah, that's because it's the Olympics. But that's okay. But that's but see, again, that's another thing that could work into their favor, because let's say you get a U.S.-Canada final like you had a few years back. That's going to generate some interest. It's going to generate some interest. Now, are they going to do that World Cup of Hockey thing again down the road like they did before?
Because of the Olympics.
Yeah, I don't know what to do it this year. Yeah, I know they won't do it this year, but will they come back with it during those off Olympic years? Because
I think they will.
That's generated a lot of interest.
I think they will because they're realizing the growth spurt, and hockey did this the right way. They took, if we can say that they took full advantage of COVID, they did, because they put their best foot out there and they gained a whole legion of new fans. But I want to stick in hockey right now, because there was a disturbing story that came on the wire. This was virtually by The Score, which is a Canadian source, and it takes the tack of one Jalen Schmerich, who is a black hockey player who is currently right now in the Ukrainian Hockey League. He was tossed a racist gesture in his direction. And
banana dude, man.
He said straight up that, I'll go to his words. First, this is what he said in his post. I just want to thank everyone in the world and everyone in the hockey community, along with my friends, family, and all of my previous teammates throughout my career who have reached out to me. posted, shared, or even just liked this video to show their support. I would like to also thank HC Donbass for everything they have done for me and the support that the Donbass community has showed me since this incident first occurred. These situations are very tough, and I am a big believer in standing up for what is right. Therefore, I have been putting a lot of thought in what comes next for me in my career. But as for right now, I have decided that I will be taking a personal leave of absence from HC Donbass, and I will not play another game in the Ukrainian Hockey League until Andriy Denishkin is suspended and removed from the league. Thank you. And he hashtags, hockey is for everyone, which is something that Joel Ward has been a strong proponent of. So Denishkin plays for HK Kremenchuk, and he mimed the peeling and eating of a banana in Schmerich's direction during a game Sunday. IHF condemned the act the next day, said that the governing body of hockey pledged that the matter will be investigated and Denishkin will be sanctioned if necessary. UHL General Manager Eugene Kolichev said he plans to monitor the probe within the country's hockey federation. And, well, I should say which the country's hockey federation will conduct. Schmerich is African-American, and he spent time here in the AHL and ECHL. He's been playing overseas after spending a handful of seasons in the AHL and EHL. So clearly they look like they're trying to stay above the fray in this, but we're not surprised that we hear this sort of
thing. Yeah, you know, the sad thing is hockey is, and Willie O'Ree has a big part of that whole hockey is for everyone. I give the NHL this much of a due. I think the higher ups truly do care about that, because you know, a few years back, you know, we had the here in New Haven, you know, the New Haven Nighthawks, who were a long-time affiliate with the New York Rangers and then became affiliated with the L.A. Kings when Wayne Gretzky was traded over there. Matter of fact, the New Haven Nighthawks GM wound up being basically promoted to working for the L.A. Team. But long story short, they had a lot of stuff here, like, you know, Hockey in the Hood, programs. Yep. They had in LA, they had it in New York. They actually had a couple of them here. I think even with all the incidents over the years, and let's be honest, there's been plenty of them. And I think for the most part, the NHL has you know, when they've never walked away from it. I think the only incident where, to me, where it looks like that they sort of, you know, drug their feet was the coach in Calgary. When that surfaced. But for the most part, you get the feeling that they sort of appreciate the you know, not the non-white fans, that you know our buddy Kwame down in Toronto with what he does with Black Ice, he's been more prominent as well. And I don't want to forget our buddies down in Toronto as well, the Fosse brothers as well,
and future aces with Bernice Carnegie. Yes, there's been a lot of folks who have been supportive of this. You know, Joe Ward starting Hockey for Everyone. All of these things matter, and because of that, hockey was able to go forward. And in all honesty, as we're talking about the Kraken would not exist were it not for the success of the Vegas Golden Knights. And I don't mean just putting together a team. I mean a winning team. What is it, 5 years now? And every time you do a hockey podcast, you must include Las Vegas. Nobody took them really seriously, but now they're one of the more stable franchises in the league. And anytime a player goes to Vegas, whether it's said aloud or not, you know there's a certain style they want from their players.
We had to really go back to the early 90s. What I mean is this.
Mm-hmm.
When Wayne Gretzky got traded from St. Louis, St. Louis, LA, LA became a playoff team. I swear to this day, if it wasn't for that team winning, you would not have the Arizona Coyotes. Colorado
Avalanche, New Rockies.
Avalanche.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The Dallas Stars, we got moved.
Yep. Bing, bing, Dallas, bing, bing, Stars. Gotta have Dallas Stars. But you're
that
right.
That was the first wave.
Well, we always talk about the excellence of the black athlete. And because of this, I'm not saying this justifies, it more verifies that the talent is there. We know for years there were a lot of hockey players who happened to be black who really had their career path suppressed. Guys like Craig Martin, Reggie Savage, you know, who were terrors in junior, never got the chance to take it to the next level. And again, we still don't have that bona fide black sniper since Jerome McGinley is gone. It takes time to work one. Now, maybe this kid in L.A. Byfield might be that. We don't know. What we do know is that there have been a steady influx of players, and although we have new blood in there, we always have the veterans like Kyle Okposo and Wayne Simmons, who signed a 2-year contract to play with Toronto. So they're still in the league. Now, what the young players do offer this will be intriguing because Tampa Bay won with a roster of at least 3 black players on it. So we know they're paying attention. Now, they're not there for window dressing or affirmative action spots. They would not be there if they couldn't play. So we're happy that these brothers are doing the damage that they're doing as they continue on doing what they do.
Michael, this will be complete now. Mm-hmm. And the Toronto Maple Leafs would win a championship. I know it sounds crazy, but man, it is time for the Toronto Maple Leafs to win a Stanley Cup. And I'm not gonna do it with Tina. I'm not gonna do it with Tina because right now. Lightning is so strong. I don't think it's Detroit Lightning.
Well, you know what? The Tampa Bay Lightning got it. They got it the hard way. They earned that shit. And
it
they're
is,
solid
it
everywhere. If we look at every team in the league, the one thing we know Tampa Bay doesn't have a problem with is goal scoring and goal defending. Those
right.
two things, they do very well. They've got supplemental talent, and they can go four lines and be consistent on the ice. There's no real drop-off, except we got to admit, that first line with Stamkos and Braden Point, that's a money line. But the others, they're not far behind them. Too many hockey teams have maybe one or two lines that they can rely on. You know, you got to be really deep to get into that elite core. Tampa Bay earned it, and they were playing in Florida of all places. So what does that tell you about the growth of the league? The NHL
yeah.
right now is very healthy, and Tony, they're going to take every effort to fully make good on this. Because in 2003, or rather 2004, the Mouse, they were showing poker because there was no hockey on TV. The players had gone on strike. So this thing's come full circle. Now hockey is very much in demand, and I think a lot of lay people are going to enjoy it. Are you there?
Tony,
there? Oh, there you go. Yep. Tony, did you go make a sandwich?
Where'd Tony go?
He went and had a sandwich. All right.
Give me a sandwich.
Make sure he brings one back for everybody.
The New Jersey Devils. I looked up the New Jersey Devils.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the first time since this expansion.
Yes.
And they've been out of playoffs 9 years. I can't believe that. 9 years they've been out of playoffs.
The playoffs have become very competitive. You know, you can have a good season and still miss the playoffs. That's another thing I like about hockey. You know, even though the season is long, you really have to play the string out. Because if you don't, you can slide right out of playoff competition very quickly. And there's nothing you can do about it because the playoffs are set in stone in terms of the number of teams that are going to be there. They don't even try to prejudice the divisions. They're like, okay, look, we want the top eight no matter what. So if the top eight happen to compromise two of the three divisions, the other division's out of luck.
And the format, the playoff format last year, I thought was a perfect format. I wonder if they're going to do the Canadian conference again, because I really like the way they did that.
Well, they did do a good job with that. But I'm glad you mentioned that because that takes us to our main theme tonight, or not to Vax. Damn,
oh,
what a question.
Lord.
Well,
how many hours we got?
You know, this is important because we know that there are folks, and I have to say, both my daughters, Nikki and Leah, were telling me in Canada that people in Alberta have lost their bunny rabbit blinking mind. My middle girl lives in Alberta, and she is a nurse, and my oldest girl just moved from Alberta to B.C. But the gist of all of this is the fact that people are acting like they don't have a fucking clue, and they're anti-vaccine. Now, this reflects the population, and we see this reflected in some players. Mackenzie Blackwood, who is goaltender for the Devils, is one of these who is saying he won't vax. We're getting a growing number of players in each of the leagues that are saying that they won't vax.
Well,
now,
Michael,
as we go,
I think the NBA is doing it the right way. If you don't get vax, you don't get paid. Bye. And
well,
we have one guy in the Golden State Warriors who said, I am not going to get vaxxed. And they said, okay, if you don't play the game, if you don't go to the arena, you ain't going to play that night.
Well, all right, Andrew Wiggins did say that. But Andrew Wiggins is a Canadian citizen. So the fact that he would say this when he's got a $31 million contract, and a Canadian, that's got to probably be even far more. But he's telling you he can't do it. Now, there's a big difference between can't and won't. There's 31 million reasons why I would say it's more won't than can't. But think about this. We have had so much disinformation, and believe me, I understand the vaccine thing. I don't like the idea of vaccines. Anybody who's black and grew up in the American South or is aware of it knows vaccines ain't all that great an idea when motherfuckers are lying and trying to kill your ass. And we're not being funny about this. They are trying to kill black people. No one ever said that the Tuskegee experiment, which they labeled that as such, was an effort to kill black folks. As we had the professor coming online, you know,
I got to say this.
Okay.
All right, look. Everybody getting this vaccine. So I hear what you're saying about black people getting killed. But if everybody gets the vaccine, you know they ain't killing white people. You know they ain't going to do that.
Well, I know what we know. History tells us otherwise to some degree, Gary. But we know 700,000 people right now are dead from COVID. We know that. That's fact. We can't change that. But we also know that there is some hesitation and trepidation among black folks who are viewing this as, do I really want to do this because of what was really done back in the day? And again, we have Professor Fred in the mix as well. Fred, good evening.
It was until I started listening to y'all. Now y'all are going off the rails somewhere. But anyway, how y'all doing?
Yes. We good.
What's up, Fred?
Oh, Lord, that Raider fan. Okay, let's
Raiders.
Get it on. What's the question?
All right, Professor. So what we're saying here is that it's coming push to shove for several folks in some of the sports leagues when it comes to getting vaccinated. And we have one young man for the Golden State Warriors, Mr. Wiggins, who said he does not want the vax. Now, he's not an American citizen. He's born in Canada. He does not want the vax. He's getting paid $31 million a season. Is that enough to make him change his mind? Because the NBA actually has done a better job than most of the other leagues. 90% of the players are vaccinated. So what's up with this?
Mike, we're talking about grown folk here.
Hello.
And I just had this conversation with my next door neighbor. We don't necessarily see eye to eye on it either, as well as some of the other people I've talked to. My thinking is this. I know people who are resisting the vaccination who ain't never heard of the Tuskegee experiment.
Okay.
Hadn't heard of it before this, you know, and basically, you know, my question is, okay, so you're against the government telling you what to do, but then so you get in the car and you keep your seatbelts buckled on the seat, and when you get in, you just sit on them. You don't put the seatbelt on. Mm-hmm. No, well, that's different. Well, if your car flip over, it ain't no different.
Hello.
the kind of stuff I'm looking at is this.
Mm-hmm.
You may not, as with other diseases, you may never be affected by it. We have, this past Monday, a couple with their other two, I think his other two children, went down to Wilmington, North Carolina to take their 20-year-old son off life support to harvest his organs.
His organ.
Two weeks ago.
Yeah.
He was fine. And, you know, you're like, oh my, you know, you know, it don't affect young people that bad. And it didn't until it got a hold of him. And he suffered, you know, of all things, he suffered a brain infection.
Wow. Encephalitis? Shit.
So within 48 hours, he had gone from a minor headache and some other minor, you know, quote unquote, minor symptoms to a respirator.
Wow.
And I think I mentioned this before a couple of weeks ago, and it's no better now. Here at the local hospital, your best bet if you come down with COVID is you be in the military, because the hospital's got people stacked in the halls.
Wow.
The emergency capacity is like 130%. And then that was a 20-year-old. We also have several young people here, and it is in every school got every school. Elementary school got clusters. Fortunately, now in our area, most people in our area, 11 and up, can take the vaccine now, and they're talking about going to even younger kids. But as it stands, even people who don't get it are spreading it. And most of the people who are on, matter of fact, 90%+ of the people on life support in North Carolina are non-vaccinated.
But gentlemen, I hate to do this, but because this vaccine is a political issue, it should not be a political issue. It's a health issue.
Here's what you're battling with. Okay, we can always go the black-white route. But I know some black folks, and I know some white folks.
Yep.
And right now, most of the black folks that I either know or hear about, and most of the white folks that I know or hear about that are coming down with this stuff, ain't vaccinated.
So, in California, the counties. 80% vaccinated, the count is down. The counties that have non-vaccinated people, the count has moved way up. So, there's the evidence right there.
Well, I'm appreciating people trying to say they have freedom of choice and all that. Yes.
Let me go ahead, I'm not agreeing with him just because he's a Raider fan, and the next time we play, we're going to beat him. Let's look at the raw, down and dirty, you know. Okay, what form of evidence do you need to go yay or nay? Because unfortunately this whole thing was politicized, and we know the kind of jackass that did it. Okay,
that's
we
right.
got to get beyond that because I guess, you know, as I said several times, I lost two friends within a couple of weeks of each other, and this was both of these were pre-vaccination.
Wow.
John would be 70 plus years of age. Mike would be 66 or 7 about now.
Okay.
And He was behind me in school. John was ahead of me in school, and several other people I know that I know only a few people who have come through it and lived. One of our local reporters, he and I are roughly the same age. He had the vaccine, and it still knocked him on his ass because, as we've said before. There is only so much COVID is going to do in and of itself. But
that's
once
true.
It find, gets in you and finds a weakness, okay, yep. Then it goes to work. Okay, the young
mm-hmm.
man is 20 years old. His birthday is a month or so away. He would have been 21
mm-hmm.
years of age. College, honest student in college.
Yep.
But
yep.
he thought it was, you know, he, like so many, thought it was funny.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
I can get it later. Well, unfortunately, he won't be getting it later because his funeral is this weekend. Okay,
mm.
So we had a situation here where over the weekend, NC State beat Clemson for the first time in God knows when.
Mm-hmm.
Probably very few people around campus remember the last time NC State beat Clemson, but they did. Okay,
mm-hmm.
You see the people quote rushing the field.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you see, the only mask I saw was one or two people who had been working on the sideline and had masks on.
Yeah. Right.
At East State, it's optional. I saw some brothers and some sisters. I saw some white folks and some other folks running out on the field, no mask,
mm-hmm.
only no mask in their hand. So they would tell you, if you don't see it on their face, you don't see it in their hand,
yep.
they ain't got one.
I'm with you, Fred.
Guess
I'm with
what?
You. This is what this is exposing.
Guess where all these,
since
see, guess where all these surges have been coming from?
Uh-huh.
You know, guess. Okay, we had a big game here a couple of weeks ago. About 10 days later,
mm-hmm.
they quote didn't report the numbers. Labor Day
Jeez.
Weekend between the beach
mm-hmm.
and the ball game.
Yeah.
You know, there was no report on Monday, Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
They don't collect data over the weekend, especially on holidays.
Right.
So at the
mm-hmm.
end of the day, there was only partial numbers. Most of them
mm-hmm.
okay. But
yeah.
what happened the week and a half later when the numbers come out and the surge start again?
Cape
Fear Valley goes from 90%+ occupancy in the critical care areas to 115%. It
mm-hmm.
kept growing. The young man,
yeah.
Mr. Bays, who reports for Channel 5 locally,
mm-hmm.
he came out of the hospital. He couldn't stand up.
Jesus.
You know,
see,
he lost his equilibrium and several other things. So, you know, I don't know what it's going to take because, you know,
let me say this.
People allow this to be politicized to a point where, you know, what you know, the facts don't count. It's, you know, who do I want to believe? And the people
there
that, you
go.
Know. That's right. Okay, Mike, you got kids, right? You remember at a certain stage, your children got these thing called friends. And all of a sudden... You well, first of all,
how many of us have them?
You know, their bestest friends are the smartest people on earth who got
mm-hmm.
no degree.
Yes,
they're the smartest people in the world all the way up until that child gets caught up in something. All of a sudden, you become a genius again.
That's right.
You speak on
what the problem is. You're speaking on exactly what the problem is. COVID, since Trump, I'll say the North American continent, because this includes Alberta and Saskatchewan and whatnot that are like really like out in fucking space on this nonsense. We have been exposed to just how many stupid people live in this fucking area. Because it was stupidity that drove them, you know, and because of this, that coupled with the politicizing of the vaccines, the stuff we already know about Tuskegee, the stuff we already know about how this country treats black folks, we know all of that is wrapped up together. Okay, gang.
Michael, okay, I live in El Dorado.
Mm-hmm.
Berkeley is to the south of me.
Yeah.
Vallejo is to the north of me, right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Clowns
to the left of you. Clowns to the left of you. Jokers to the right.
Yeah,
keep going.
Right. But, Bernie's rate of infection is 0.2.
Right. Okay.
Vallejo is almost 5. 0.5. What does that tell you? Bernie has a stringent mandate of mask and vaccine. Vallejo does not.
The mandate is what we're talking about, though. The mandate is what we're talking about. If Anthony Wiggins is told if he doesn't vaccinate, he can't play, that's 31 million reasons to get your ass vaccinated. You know?
And the crazy thing about it, Mike, he's not even the most prominent one. The most prominent one as of right now is Kyrie Irving. He's basically said.
Yeah.
Well, you know what's interesting? Just to reflect on what's going on here in my state. Now, they're asking all medical all people who work in the medical field to make it mandatory to be vaccinated.
Exactly.
And there are some in the medical field that are basically trying to fight it. And now it's like, wait a minute. Weren't these the same folks that they were, in a sense, putting on the pedestal during the whole, thing? And now all of a sudden they're being Trump. They're allowing this they're allowing themselves to be Trumpified. Look, here's the thing. Full disclosure on me. I had it for a couple of weeks in February. Luckily, it wasn't fatal. I did my 2 weeks. Got tested. Didn't have it again. I took the 2 vax in the month of May. Now I got a little cold last month and missed a couple of days of work. Now one of the things I had to do before I came back to work was to get a COVID test. So I figured, I went and got tested again. The results came back quicker this time. I took it on a Friday. I had my results on a Saturday. No COVID.
Yes.
Now, look, I am not trying to be the poster boy for Pfizer or anybody. All I'm saying is for me and myself, I think it's proven that the vaccine works. Now, where I'm a little weird is that now all of a sudden they're talking about this booster shot. Now, here's the thing. It's bad enough that we had to take 2 vaccines, as far as I'm concerned. But I went with it because I figured, hey, I had it. I'm probably, probably for myself and for my friends, family, and what have you. But now this whole booster thing, I'm like, okay. Well, then why did they push? If you knew that there was going to be a booster, then why are you pushing the other 2 shots so much? I mean, I think there's a lot of
utilization of the vaccine. Okay, Fred, I'm sorry.
Well, it's not so much utilization, but it's just, I don't know which is worse, the misinformation or the politicization, because they're sort of, it's like that left-wing, right-wing thing where they're all from the same damn bird. I'm just trying to figure out, are they making it up as they go along or what happens? See, I'm trying to give the benefit of the doubt, but I understand people. I'm as someone who had it, took both vaccines. I'm not trying to play the whole Bill Clinton feel your pain, but I can understand. I understand. Mm-hmm. I surely can understand.
I was a child. 1950. In the polio day, everybody was doing the same thing they're doing right now.
Right.
When it got to the children, as soon as I gave
You're talking about white.
This COVID 19 is exactly the same thing because people were protesting for years and years.
No, it's not. I respectfully disagree because those kids back then, when white kids started getting affected by poliomyelitis, then they had
sympathy
for everybody. Yes, exactly. But now, Fred just talked about a 20-year-old, and Tony is, let's say, older than 29, and he had it. The difference
Tony is older than 35.
Right. It's the immune system that we're talking about. Now, how can a virus be so deadly that it can affect the immune system of a 20-year-old, which should be far stronger than Tony's, and attack it to a degree where it kills it. You know, we've heard of viruses and other things like that, but there's something else going on here. I know there's a reason why some people are hesitant, but they're also ignoring the science of it for the disinformation. At least it seems that way. Okay, Fred.
Okay. First and foremost, the thing we got to remember here with this virus, it does what they call morphing, which means it shapes itself to attack you where you're weak. We're not talking about a straight up, you know, line up to the right side, line up to the left side. No. Right. Remember they used to have this thing called nose guards, but where did Joe Green line up? Over the center.
Yeah.
Okay. Most defenses couldn't handle that because they had little dudes or smaller guys playing center, and because of it, he would overpower them, and then the guy that's playing guard would have to block down to get him, and by the time he got where he was going, hey, he was gone. Well, this is the same thing, kind of thing that this virus is doing. It morphs. Mm-hmm. It changes, and part of the reason it's allowed to change is the people that are carrying it and putting it out there in areas where people have less of a defense against it. And even you know, like I think I told you this, there's a kid here who is still on life support who is like 12, 13 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
He should have been getting the children's edition of the antivirus. Problem was, by the time, you know, about a month or so ago, birthday party with a bunch of kids, homeboy who I ain't gonna take no shot kids showed up at a birthday party. See, remember what they used to tell us with something as simple as the flu and other maladies, where they say, you know, stay your ass home if you ain't got to be out.
That's
but
right.
But, dude, I got a right to go out and go where I want to go. But then that's the upside. The downside is, hey, you spread it where you go.
That's exactly right. What you're saying is accurate because your analogy notwithstanding, this virus blows up the A gap of your immune system. And that's why the death can come as quickly as it comes. And unfortunately, the information that's being out there to make somebody say, you know what, I need to take this, is getting lost in rhetoric that comes from an asshole like Trump. And it's ironic how he's talking about he's going to make America great. All he's done is make America less populated. Because he's killed more motherfuckers than FEMA.
Let's just call it what it is. There is the racist part of this.
Yeah.
But there's an elitist thing as well.
That's right.
And on Facebook or what have you, there's a real funny meme where they have a bunch of a lot of plaques, funeral plaques, you know, like you would see in a graveyard, and each one of them has something on there. It said like one says I did my own research, the other says who are you gonna, you know, you can't trust the doctors, or I'm gonna take my chances, and it's like basically it's a graveyard full of all the things that you've heard that we've heard along the way. Yeah, and more like dead excuses because see, look, here's the thing. To me, and again, I'm just gonna speak. I'm gonna speak for myself in this.
Mm-hmm.
I early on, I get all because to me the funniest thing I ever saw was one of the mm-hmm. first news conferences that they had.
Yeah.
And they said, mm-hmm. you shouldn't be in a room with more than 10 or so people. So me being the wise ass that I am, I was looking mm-hmm. at the podium. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 12. There were 12 of them up there saying no more than 10. And mm-hmm. now... if I remember correctly, I don't think Dr. Fauci had his mask on. I cannot.
If he was talking, he probably did because you can't hear him.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. He might have had it in the Frederick Douglass / Teddy Pendergrass mode where they had it in like it was a beard possibly.
Yeah.
But for the most part, everybody up there was basically within a bear hug of each other, and they're saying no more than it reminded me of the local weather folks that go out in the middle of a tornado, a snowstorm, or whatever, and only go out when you really, really have to, as the wind is whipping their ass in public. it's like, you know.
So you saw the guy that's on in the morning on NBC.
Oh, anybody locally, anybody. Look. Put it this way: I go. You know, who's the guy on the Weather Channel? Jim Cantore, right?
Yes, can tell you.
Jim Cantore is either the smartest man in the world or the dumbest fuck in the world because he is all. He is always in the middle of everything. Whenever there's
That's
a snowstorm, he's there.
Yep.
It's almost put it this way. It's almost, you know, I have a whole thing where it's not Christmas until I hear Nat King Cole's the Christmas song. Well, it ain't a real hurricane. It ain't a real hurricane or a real snowstorm unless I see Jim Cantore's stupid ass standing out in the middle of it. Oh, okay. It must be really bad because this idiot is right in the middle of it telling you, you need to stay home.
No shit.
So it's nuts. It's nuts.
We have a problem because this thing is further exacerbated by the fact that people look at the pros and they see people come out and saying shit, and it's like, how safe is your work environment? All right, so like if you work at a place where vaccination is mandatory, you know, okay, you're going to go to work. Everybody around you is vaccinated. So if something's going to come, it's going to come, but you're not going to be malaffected by it. If you're in a workspace like a National Football League locker room and you know that there are players that will not take it, some who have gone on the record and saying, I won't take it, even worse, higher profile players who will say that they can't take it or refuse to take it for whatever reason, religious nonsense, whatever. Mm-hmm. That changes the whole philosophy of what's going on, and it puts the total team in jeopardy. Whether they're right or wrong about their theory, it can't make for effective football if the team, the basketball, football team, hockey, whatever, is going to go out because they can't trust the person next to them in the locker room.
Well, Mike, think of it this way.
Mm-hmm.
Remember before they have all these drugs that help you deal with AIDS and how that was, say 20, 25 years ago. And
right.
remember when His Majesty, Mr. Johnson, came out and said, "I got it."
Yep.
You know, you never saw any better Matador defense than when he drove to the basket than what he had.
That's right.
Magic Man,
put my partner.
Hey, you can score. Hey, you can put up 50.
Team.
Hey, you can do
yeah,
50,
really,
50
really.
In the first, quarter following this year. We, you know,
until
somebody who's desperate for a job say, okay, we gonna stop this joker. He's not gonna hit 50 on us. He's only gonna hit 25 on us first quarter. Cause I'm gonna put him under the suspension for the basket and see if he can get up from that. But you know, we saw what that was like. Now we see what you know, and see. Remember, early on, that was them poor colored people who got that disease.
That's right, or gay folks.
They don't make that big of a deal of it like they once did, but they still make a big enough deal of it when somebody who is loaded catches it. But then, as in the case of the president, he can afford to pay for whatever that stuff was that he got.
Yeah.
And you're going to be honest with you, I don't think he had it. I really don't. I think it was a lie. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
I mean, because
the way he recovered so fast, I said,
put it this way. I don't even know if you can even use, put it this way. In the dictionary, under the word, or I guess it's a phrase now, attention whore, it's an 8 by 10 of that asshole.
Oh, he's way behind that, man. No question.
But I feel
that there's some assholery that's thrown into the mix with this as well.
And Mike, if Mr. Webster doesn't have it in the book now, you know, the shame on him because it's been used enough now where, you know.
You know, the fact that he has allowed people to buy what he's selling and they keep buying in spite of the fact that they know the product is defective and it doesn't work, it doesn't change the fact that they are still hell-bent on going on ahead with this logic because they need their stupidity justified. And when you see 700,000 tombstones, you would think you'd be justified enough to have a fucking wake-up call. These folks
Michael, until the Republican Party, until those five idiots are beaten the fire, the American press is what responsible for this too. Because they're not being responsible, right? If I tell Michael was in the room, this, and tell Andy McLean another story, and then tell Fred another story. You can't do that.
Unfortunately. And see, you know, look, end of the day, P.T. Barnum is laughing his ass off.
That's exactly
because,
right.
You know, this is the ultimate. I mean, and you know what's kind of crazy is, and again, I saw on Facebook, and again, I'm not trying to be a whore for Facebook, but it's gotten to the point now where people are sort of muting their common sense, so they don't embarrass their imbecile friends, you know?
Exactly. That's right.
And it's like, you know, no disrespect, but if you're, you know, just to steal a line from that noted scholar, Foghorn Leghorn, if you're as dumb as a bag of wet mice, we can't really fucking help you.
Actually,
it's kind of slanderous to the dead, to the wet dead mice, to be quite honest with you.
Right about that shit. We've got D. Orlando Ledbetter in the house. Dow, can you hear us?
Hey, Lyle, tell us what's going on.
What's going on, brother? We're talking vaccination right now. And you know there's some vaccinated or non-vaccinated players that are not going to abide. But how is your view on the vaccination situation, especially since you got a young one in the biz who's got to be around folks?
Listen, both my kids are vaccinated. I necessarily don't believe in the vaccination, but I look at this and I saw all of this, and I said this to you, can attest. This is the Hunger Games. This is Animal Farm, 1984.
Yep.
All coming to fruition today.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There's going to be a world of you're vaccinated, you can live in a community, you can go into the facility. Non-vaccinated, you cannot. KRS-One is coming to Philly next week. You can't get in the show if you don't have a vaccination card.
There you go.
The NFL was the first. If you're not a vaccinated employee, you can't work for us. So what does that mean? They have all the attorneys. They know all the judges on the Supreme Court. So they found a legal loophole in it.
Yeah.
Now, from a player standpoint, you can believe in whatever you want to believe in. All right?
Mm-hmm.
But you are making money. You are still the highest paid slave on the plantation. So you don't control your image, your name, or anything else. So just look at this. You don't want to take a vaccination, but you drink a soda. You eat fast food.
See, that's how stuff gets started. Meddling like that. But go ahead.
So...
If you say A, B, C, D, these are facts. Now, if you don't read the facts, it's on you.
Right.
Mike, something else that everybody seems to be missing, but, you know, we're not going to miss it here. Okay, just what the gentleman he was just talking about. Let's take it a step further. Okay, since now I know for a fact there is an NBA team in part of North Carolina, based on the rules and regulations in North Carolina, what if this gentleman has to go play somewhere like Atlanta, Florida, D.C., Maryland, California,
Toronto.
If I remember correctly, I ain't going to take no shot means you ain't going to go to Toronto.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
sure.
It doesn't matter, some of these arguments are mute anyway as far as the league is concerned, because where is the league located? We have a football team here. Who is or is not going to go when they play Dallas or wherever?
Yeah.
Who is or isn't going to go? Because remember, some of these places you can't go there unless you're vaccinated. So who's going to play?
Mm-hmm.
You see, the league has already put it out there on Front Street. You can't play if you cannot play if you're in violation of the local rules and regulations. So say this week, pick two teams who are going to be playing each other. How many home players will they have to scratch because they're not vaccinated? And then how many visiting players will they have to scratch because they're not vaccinated?
Right.
You see, at some point somebody gonna end up having to either overplay a bunch of guys, or they're going to have to forfeit a game, and that ain't gonna last too long.
Mm-hmm. And we know already going into this year, the NFL said, if you ain't got no players, you see, they did it last year, but they said coming into this year they weren't going to do it this year. Now, I don't know if the NBA has come out and said that, but you get the feeling with what's going on, that's the vibe, that shame on y'all. And it's very interesting that one Lew Alcindor, also known as Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, has been very vocal in saying that all players should be vaccinated. Because let's be honest, Kareem has never been one of those guys that just towed the company line.
I find it
interesting. Now, there's going to be some that may think, oh, they're paying him off to do it. Really? You mean after all these years, the NBA is going to embrace Kareem? No. That's just creating false narratives. And see, again, that's sort of what's been going on. It's everyone's been sort of trying to create, everyone that's trying to be overly vocal about it has been trying to cookie cutter their narrative about it.
Mm-hmm.
And look, I'm going to be very, very honest. Early on, I was very, very skeptical. It's like, well, when we were forced to sort of work at home, when we were forced early on to work at home, I would, while I was working, I would have like CNN or the local news on in the background. Mm-hmm. And after about 2-3 days, I was like, you know what? This is too much. It's just too much. See, unfortunately, with media now, they play into that whole paranoia and pitting folks against each other or what have you. Thankfully, this is one of the few times I think because there is alternative media that you can get somewhat of a better vibe, because clearly mainstream media sold their soul long time ago. And it's reflective of it. As much as we talk about how the 24 karat asshole who was allegedly president for 4 years was playing the propaganda machine. Mm-hmm. Same things happened with the Biden folks, because they went after now the other noted Rhodes Scholar, Nicki Minaj, has come out and basically he's done the whole anti-vax thing or whatever. And the White House, the press secretary was saying, they tried to sort of not so much censor her, but talk down to her and say we'd love to have a sit down with her and to me that was very Trumpian of them, because that's just playing into the whole bullshit.
I'm glad you said that, because here's an example that everybody needs to see right now. Okay. Everybody knows who DeAndre Hopkins is. Wide receiver, Arizona Cardinals, and he's been in the league 9 years. Okay, he's been being tested, and when he was asked about COVID, he said, if I'm forced to choose about taking a vaccine or leaving, I will leave. All right, so never mind the work rules and all the other stuff. Now, DeAndre Hopkins has a body of work. He's been in the league 9 years. He has exactly 760 receptions. So he's averaged 85 catches the 9 years that he has been in the league. Now, last week, they deferred to go away from him in the offensive flow. And normally, Murray looks at Hopkins as his first read. He ended up catching 3 balls in Arizona 1, but it was kind of like they just let him ease off to the side. So the question I put to everybody is this. If DeAndre Hopkins decided right now to retire from the National Football League, and we got Patrick Perron in the mix,
Is he a Hall of Famer? Everybody, please say something.
You know what? As much as I'd have to say no, only because I need more. You gotta have more of a body of work.
Okay.
Is he on pace for it? Absolutely. But if he literally were to shut it down tomorrow, he would probably. I'd hate to say it, but I'd have to give him the Thurman Munson treatment in the sense of, you know, just a little short.
Patrick, is DeAndre Hopkins a Hall of Famer if he decides to retire tomorrow because he won't take a vaccination?
He needs more work.
I concur. He doesn't have enough of a background. I mean, if you're going to say he's a Hall of Famer, then you might as well put Ocho Cinco in the Hall of Fame.
Ojo Cinco has like 200 receptions less. Yeah, I'm with you.
Right.
Patrick, can you hear us?
Can you guys hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. Is DeAndre Hopkins a Hall of Famer right now if he decides to retire?
Well, first of all, good to be with you guys. And secondly, I'm always speaking of Cliff Branch and forced that he passed not to give his due as a Hall of Famer.
Yes, sir.
Would his numbers match DeAndre because of the volumes of what DeAndre has in terms of statistics based upon how the game was played today as opposed to how it was played when Cliff Branch was playing?
Exactly.
I'd say no because he needs maybe another year or two to do the same thing. But let's put it this way. He's on his way. He got the gas, got the ticket to get there, but he hasn't got the car yet.
Yes. I think that's a fair assessment. That's exactly right. But if he is so spooked about vaccination, he would walk away from it. Now, it's a personal choice, I would say. Yeah, it's a personal choice for sure. But if you want to be great, there's a fact that you have to include as well. And he would be subject to the ire of the sports writers. We know some of they're already very political. And even if he was worthy, and I think he is, he wouldn't get a shot because the writers would freeze him out too. So we're looking at this vaccination thing, and it's like, what do you do if somebody in your locker room is non-vax? What is the mindset of the players in there? Because we know in almost all the NFL rosters, you know, you got one or two guys that are like, I ain't doing it. What do you do?
Mike, I told you a couple of weeks ago when the NFL made the criteria of what's going to happen if they got to miss games. And let's be real, I'll say the same thing I said then. When my family got to miss checks because you want to get vaccination, it ain't going to be pretty.
You're right, but they're not joking. The money's going to talk. People will definitely walk. And we keep forgetting, no matter how talented you are, the National Football League does not owe you a job. If you're in the minority, they'll phase your black ass out in the New York Minute. Look what they're doing to Cam Newton now. And then, you know, and that's not related to COVID. So we already know that these cats will do this stuff.
Well, it's proven now how effective it can be. It's proven now that it works. It's proven now most rational people are adjusting. And things have moved right along in terms of getting folks back to any kind of normalcy that it was before, particularly if you had a business that lost money and now try to catch up and to get things moving. And if you're on the way and just not getting vaccinated, hey, and all the stores in Jersey, I'm going to tell you now, they got it saying, if you ain't vaccinated, don't come in there.
There you go. That's right. That's real world stuff. So what do you do?
And Mike, you know, just as recently as a week ago, Some brilliant, I ain't gonna take no shot person pulled a gun on a person at a some kind of sandwich shop. Somebody gonna serve me. And see that's how stupid it's gotten. But you know, like you say, nobody owes you a job, even no matter how great you may be or think you are. And add to that the fact that if you don't take the shot, if you don't take, whatever the situation may be. Again, I refer back to Magic Johnson. When he first came out about the AIDS thing, who on his team wanted to play with him? Because you got to set screens, you got to go to the you got to go to the basket, you do workouts, all this kind of stuff. So, it's bad enough that you got to put up with all the racial crap and all this other thing, which can be squelched easily. But so you're gonna be around me, and I'm gonna get exposed to you, and I gotta go home to my 7 year old, 5 year old, or too young for vaccine because you got rides. It's your choice. Yes, it is your choice, but then you gotta when you make a choice, you gotta take what goes with that choice, and if that means if Patrick has made so much money that he can give away the rest of $31 million for this year, so be it.
Yeah.
Now if Patrick has gone out there and done like some of his cousins have done, and blown their $31 million from last year, and got to collect their first check of the year, he might want to he might want to go pull his pants down and bend over so he can get his shot. Because if he don't, it is your right and privilege that you don't have to take the shot. But then, on a higher level, I don't have to pay you, which means if you want to adhere to our rules and regulations, because see, I'm one of those people who wish they would get some of these guys who look like they come on a rock with their bad hair and bad beards and stuff, but they have to make them dress like that.
Fred, I'm going to tell you something. Did anybody see the press conference of Wiggins of the Golden State Warriors yesterday?
I've heard about you're talking about Clay Thompson?
No, Wiggins, the kid.
Wiggins. Oh, no. Yeah. Andrew, no, I haven't.
No, he's from Canada. He was in the press conference yesterday, and the guy asked him, about vaccines. He says, "Well, I have my rights. It's something I have. I'm trying to deal with, and I'll deal with it later as I can deal with it." So the writer asked him, "What if he used millions?" He said, "For my millions." And I said, I'm saying to myself, if it was your millions, then you could take your millions and stay in Canada where you live and not play.
Well, it's going to come down to somebody saying in the contract language that, Darryl, if you want to play for us, it's mandatory that you take a shot. It's going to be no different than the language that's in the contract that says, once you're a member of the NFL players, you are automatically a member of the players' union, and you have to pay union dues and stuff. So if mandatory is going to be the way to solve this problem, will the leagues do it?
Well, I'm gonna give another one that people are dealing with. Kyrie Irving, with his career, talking about, I haven't made my decision yet. Well, I might have to play all home games. Because he won't be able to travel now. He can't travel. And you think that's going to go for that? That's stupid.
Nope.
See, that's what I was talking about earlier. When you cross state lines, the rules change. Because this year, I'm not working any games south of North Carolina because South Carolina – Georgia, and Florida have gone pure asshole crazy.
That's right.
And got,
thank you.
And got, mm-hmm. and got governors who are in that don't give a damn mode, bring your money on mm-hmm. down here. I
oh,
just
please. Please. Ron DeSantis, the supreme idiot
yep.
governor of all time in the country.
Okay, so wait a minute. Let's look at this as how America looks at shit. When in doubt, sue a motherfucker. Okay, somebody gets sick. It's in a state like Georgia or Florida, and they can make a legal case that their laws were the reason for their illness because of their lack of doing something or not doing due diligence when it came to vaccines or what have you. The long and short of it is, someone's willing to take somebody's ass to court. Is it going to come to that first before these fools stop losing their bunny rabbit blinking minds, or is something else going to happen first?
It's probably going to come down to because that's the mentality now, I think, you know,
mm-hmm.
and quite frankly, that was even before the orange asshole got into office. I think that's you know,
that's true.
You've got a lot of folks out here that just want to mm-hmm. just want to be contemptible, just to be contemptible. And,
yeah.
and the thing is it's black, white, or what have
mm-hmm.
you. That's the real sad part about it. See, what's the messed up thing is, for most of them, it's a selfish thing. Until yeah. it happens to someone they love
mm-hmm.
or happens to whatever,
mm-hmm.
they really don't give a damn. And that's
mm-hmm.
right. That's reflective. I think that's more reflective of our society. And
mm-hmm.
you know, as cliche as it is, it's reflective in sports as well, because you have all of the, you know, you have different folks, different literary figuratively, different sorts of different folks. This is the analogy I use, and maybe this is a little off, but I think you'll understand what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
When the whole thing with I've even forgotten his name, the kid from Missouri, I guess, was a few years back there, the gay, I don't know, a football player. Well, Michael Sam. I always felt like his problem wasn't going to be so much in the locker room. It was
right.
always going to be more so with the media and with the fans. I think,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I think we all can identify, you know, there is a brotherhood in the locker room.
Yes, there is.
You know, there's a brotherhood in the locker room. And while there's always going to be, you know, folks that look at you left-handed or what have you. But I think
mm-hmm.
in going down the road, you know, because remember, you are spending, you know, those guys on your team, you're probably spending more time with them than you are with your entire family. So there has to be some sort of a kinship or brotherhood and all of that. Mm-hmm. So
yep.
it's one of those things where now everyone feels the need to have to, you know, it used to be the phrase a political football. Now
mm-hmm.
it's like a political nerf ball. It's like a political whatever ball because now everybody wants to be in y'all business. Because, see, here's the thing, and I know it's early. You know, when the kid for the Raiders, you know, came out and said, you know, he was gay,
mm-hmm.
it was like, I yawned.
Mm-hmm.
I yawned. I was like, okay, good for him. Now,
yeah.
it's been such a factor this year for the Raiders that they're 3-0. Now, it may not even be, you know, is what I'm basically saying is it's not a factor. Now,
mm-hmm.
if the Raiders should go into their a tailspin or what have you,
annual yearly tailspin,
are they gonna? Are not now? Will you know some incredible moron is going to say, well, you know, the whole massive thing is probably tearing the team apart. Like, what?
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Look, he was. Hey, look, he was gay. You know, guys, he was gay. He was gay when they were 7 and 9. He was gay when they were they were 3 and 4. You know,
there you go.
Stop it already. Stop it already.
Tony, and he was gay when he was at Cleveland Browns.
Thank you. It's not like it's not like you go to Amazon and be like, I'd like to be gay today, please. Can you send me some pictures? You send me some stuff? Oh, sure. No problem.
Come on. That's right. But the insolence when it comes to deciding that I'm not doing this and then trying to cover up with excuses like religious convictions, blah, blah, blah. Like, say if somebody is a Jehovah's Witness, or they don't believe in vaccines or whatever. Listen, my daughter's a nurse in Canada, and her sister also feel like, where are these people coming from? I don't know what the hell is going on in Alberta, but there are a lot of people there, and in Saskatchewan, the province next door, where they're like, we won't do this. We refuse to vaccinate. And I've heard every conspiracy theory that you can think of, just on this subject alone. And I'm still thinking, people are being put in jeopardy. Their lives are being put in jeopardy by stupidity. And that stupidity came from down south in the States and moved up north to Canada. Now, I can understand if you don't want to vax for whatever reason, but make it sound, make it logical, make it make sense, make it science. Don't just say some stupid shit and come out of your mouth with it and say, I can't do it.
Mike, you know something else? I don't want to hear one black person. And I put something on Facebook the other day. I went off on somebody. Don't give me this BS about, well, I ain't going to take vaccinations because of Tuskegee situation.
Mm-hmm.
No, I said, no, fool. They were given the vac. No, they were given disease. They didn't stop the disease. Know what you're talking about.
Yes.
Patrick, I'm of the thought process that says, no, there actually was a Tuskegee experiment. They know what the hell it was versus I heard somebody say or they said.
Yeah.
In all the other well-dressed or not-so-well-dressed stupidity that comes out of this because, again, as I said earlier, a lot of people who were talking about the Tuskegee experiment didn't even know about it until now when it was somebody drug it out. And see, one of the differences back then was there was no internet. You know, if you did your own reading and other responsible due diligence so you would know what the heck you're talking about, I could understand it. But when your basis of information is I heard or they said, I'm sorry, it don't that dog don't hunt with me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think the key thing with somebody said if they want to get the vaccine and all the politicizing of it. If it ain't in your family, you need to shut up. Well, it's been in my family. I've buried my sister.
Yep.
And I'm saying to myself, all these a-holes who don't want to take it, if the vaccine had been available and my sister was here, she might still be alive today.
And they go here with my mother, 90 years old.
That's true.
God bless
my
boy.
You guys do it.
Yeah. Look, here's the thing. Even if they're the most selfish, self-centered, asshole or what have you, think about how crazy you'd have to be to just be like that. Just for the people around you, because I told you guys the fact that I had it, but also my brother took it and he didn't have it, and I just tried to get outside of myself so to speak. And again, I'm not trying to win any Nobel Peace Prize or anything like that. I just didn't want to get it. You know, at the end of the day, I didn't want to get it. And when I did get it, luckily, like I said, luckily I didn't get, you know, get it like other folks have, you know, and I consider myself blessed for that. And like I said, you know, when I had like a cold about a month or so ago, and I had to take a couple of days off of work, and then I had to take another test again, just to see if I had it, and I found out that I didn't. I was like, well, I guess the vaccine. I guess because I got the vaccine, it's, you know, I wasn't susceptible to it. So, you know, it's crazy.
I have to put on my Sly and the Family Oliver Stone conspiracy hat here, because we know chemical warfare has been something that's been used. I mean, as far back as World War One, when mustard gas was used and stuff like that, and there were after effects. I think what Fred said earlier is true. This is like Joe Green over the center. This disease blows up the A gap in your immune system. And regardless of your age, and I think everybody on this thread is somewhere between 40 and 70.
Not me.
You're born. You're gone. It eats it the fuck up. And whatever defenses you can muster depends on your personal health. But we know it can get in there and do damage. If it can do damage to a 20-year-old, you know damn well it can do damage to a 60-year-old. And the media won't tell you this shit, because the media doesn't give a fuck. They'll compile numbers. They'll give you interviews and stuff like that. They'll take you to remote shots of you know, ERs that are 130% over capacity and stuff, but they won't tell you the gist of this. They will talk about variants, but they won't give you enough information to say, okay, what happened with this disease, or rather with this virus, was it did A, B, and C. Now that the variant's in effect, it does A, B, C, D, and E. And we've seen variants throughout all our lives. The Spanish flu was a variant of a flu virus. You know, swine flu, same thing. The bird flu, all of these things were variants of flu. And they never spoke in those languages. They never said, well, because of this, now it'll do that. And because of this, we're left holding the fucking bag, because a non-science asshole came in his administration and told you that drinking Clorox could kill the virus. And somebody believed
him. And fools did. Oh, a bunch of folks would be dead because of it now.
Thank you.
No. I mean, put it this way. Forrest Gump gets full slapping privileges for a lot of these people. I'll just leave it at that.
Oh, hell yeah.
I'm talking an open face. I'm talking open hand face slap, too.
This baby powder. Yeah. I'm with you 1,000% on that shit. They have not told everybody the truth. And when the media does that, to me, that's something that's punishable by some sort of action. Because if you're not being told the whole truth, you can't be prepared to fight.
I would like to pass this on to everybody. If you get a chance, I forget the actual name of it, but there's a real great documentary on YouTube. If you just put in Spanish flu,
yes,
it just shows you how we've devolved. As a freaking society, because folks back then, it was like follow the guidelines and what have you, and you'll get through it. Mm-hmm. And now, if I remember correctly, the Spanish flu went off for like about 3 to 5 years or something like that.
Yes, it did.
Now, what are we in? What are we like in the second year, pretty much,
of
it now?
Second year plus variants.
And you know, we already got people throwing babies from Trump Tower and all the other stuff
That's right.
Because of it. And what's sad is it doesn't seem like we've learned a damn thing since.
Maybe.
I saw a piece of the response and the discipline and the order of the country and parts of China and in Japan, how they virtually just about wiped it out because of the culture that's established there, that they've established this is what's going to happen. Ain't no discussion.
We don't have that kind of cooperation here because people are trying to make money off of folks' misery. Remember, there were at least three vaccines that came out, and there was another one that was being developed by a German concern, and Trump tried to take credit for it and buy into it. Now, shit has changed since then, but I think Tony is right. I think this motherfucker was never sick because given the flaws in the vaccines that are out here now, there's nothing he could have taken that would have helped him to come back and be refreshed that quickly. The body's immune system does not work like that. You have to be at rest so that enzymes can do what they do and create kindling reactions. That's why you sweat when you're working out a fever. Your body's doing work and shit, but it needs to be at rest for that. That motherfucker's never been at rest. He's been causing chaos ever since his ass came over office.
Mike, I'll give back to that theory because of the fact that so many people around him got it. Somebody had it. That's the damn show. You know what? I think his hair had it.
I don't think he had it. I think his hair had it.
All right. Well, we know
Mike. Speaking of habit, we had talked this afternoon about what happened yesterday in Dallas. The college football playoff expansion suffered a little setback because it's going to be a little delay to it. it gets better all the time. Conferences, commissioners, and including the Notre Dame athletic director, made up this management committee. Okay.
Yep.
And given the complexity of his matters, the management committee will meet in Chicago next week for further discussions. Now, the meeting in Dallas was attended by participants. Said that we have to look into more of what this situation will come about. Here's what I think the bottom line is, and I kind of sensed it when they said they were going to suffer and bring it back. You know, the board was compromised of university presidents and chancellors representing each conference. Now, since the public rolled out the 12-game playoff, there have been concerns about the format, including the possibility of number games in the season that's required to play for the championship, which might go up to, guess what, at least?
15?
17.
They're playing a fucking pro season. 17. Holy shit.
So the 12-plan development with last year's members have been working on, which is the SEC, the Big 12, Mountain West, and Notre Dame again. And
17
they're going to
Patrick, I'm glad they're allowing a MEAC team in there because Notre Dame is going to join the MEAC. So that's cool. That's cool.
Whoa.
So they might as well. They're west of the Mississippi River, but they're still part
of
the Atlantic Conference.
Sure.
That's true. You're right.
I mean, this is extreme pimping. 17 damn games? Are you kidding?
Mike, somewhere Janice Ian is looking to see if she can sue them for taking 17 and profit off of it.
No shit. Whoa. That's like major infraction, but yes, we see what the real deal is, and we see that money talks. College pro, it don't matter. Yes.
Think about this, because since I have this affinity mm-hmm. for HBCUs, what do you all think mm-hmm. that whole rigmarole about, oh, we're going to incorporate our form partnerships, I think is the line they actually use.
Yeah, I saw that. Well,
that's right,
in
HBCU mm-hmm. conferences.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Following what you said,
there's always been a compromise or a deal already been done between the Pac-10 mm-hmm. and several HBC schools. I think it was the SWAC they're going to do it with, but it's going to be for some basketball games. That's where it starts. That's where we're going.
That's more manageable for sure, according to the rosters and stuff. Yeah.
So, as I understand it, some of them are actually talking about coming to, and playing on HBCU campuses or in their
school
arenas. Well,
that's right.
Which is really kind of stupid.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just my estimation of it. But so the other side of it is you won't guarantee like say three games. So that's three money games or. Correction, or is that replacing three money games and putting them mm-hmm. in there? So we're gonna come play you on your court.
Yep.
And we're gonna fill your home arena to overflowing because most of them are not that big. As I stated on something I did a while back, the average mm-hmm. the average HBCU home arena only seats 5,000 people. Mm-hmm. And then there are a lot of them that are smaller than that. And we are talking about Division One schools, too, so we're not talking about a whole mm-hmm. lot.
Fred, wouldn't they, if they were to play these games, like you get Notre Dame versus A&T, wouldn't they play that at, like, say, Greensboro Coliseum or, like, if they're going to play FAMU, you know, maybe play it at the Orlando Arena or you know, they're not going to, you know, they're going to play, you know, they would play it in an arena that they know that they could fill.
Very true. Very true.
Mm-hmm.
True. And that's why
I'm posing the question, because, you know, as they typically go down, every how many it is you're talking about, what, three, four guaranteed ass whoopings?
Mm-hmm. Yep,
but and I don't know what they're going to do about football, because that's even a higher risk ass whooping.
Yep,
but at least in basketball, you know, some of them are building, and hopefully with the new interest in HBCUs and better players, mm-hmm. that's going to play out. But
yeah, this is like a welfare program for smaller schools, because they're going to make them pay freight. Yes, they'll give them a lovely parting gift in form of a check, but you're coming mm-hmm. in to be fucking sacrificed. That's what they want. Oh. And see, there's an image that goes with that that does not sit well with me. I mean, we don't like to talk about. Good.
And Mike, here's another part of it. Tony really hit it on the head. Let's mm-hmm. let's take the what you suggest between Notre Dame and North Carolina A&T playing Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what you guys going to happen. We know the competition level might, you know, A&T might hang in a little while in the game, but here's the thing that's going to sell.
Mm-hmm.
If Notre Dame plays A&T in Charlotte, guys, Notre Dame travels. Like what went from the West
that's
Coast
right.
to the East Coast.
Mm-hmm. They go to Pilgrim alumni. They always show
what
up.
It's going
that's
to,
right.
What is going to do? It's going to fill mm-hmm. up the hotels in Charlotte. It's going to
that's
fill
exactly
up restaurants
right.
in Charlotte. It's and mm-hmm. black folks going to come because they want to see what's going on and they want to be a part of what happens, particularly if the university is attached to it. There's going to be
true.
Some business done that day. So mm-hmm. the score of the game might not be good, but the atmosphere and event that it is will create
mm-hmm.
some opportunities that's beyond basketball.
And if it happens, they're going to do it.
Exactly. Which is, all in all honesty, that's what the Whitney Young Classic could have been if they just left it the hell alone and tried to nurture it through the Grambling years. Because after the Grambling years, there were the Hampton years, and then they were like, okay, let's just pick two schools. No, if they had built the foundation right, it would have been strong. They were averaging 40,000
and a year, I was with the guys and put it together. It was 60,000. But also, what happened? George Steinbrenner died. Made a big difference.
Yes, that's true. I was about to say the same.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
He underwrote. They can say what they want about him, but he underwrote all of that and didn't say anything. And
as much as I have inner contempt for the franchise and him as a person. It's a long drawn out story that's been settled. It's probably going to be on Netflix in a couple of months. I'll let y'all know about it. But see, that was a tradition. That tradition actually started even before Steinbrenner took over the team.
It
was one of those things where, you know, he made sure that it didn't die, especially those last few years when he was still running the show.
They actually
tried to do it on a basketball level where they had the Big Apple Classic where they had Howard and Hampton would play, and then one year they had Bowie State and Virginia State, I believe. And the first year it was done at the Garden, and then the next year I believe they had it in Brooklyn. And then it, like, unfortunately, like a lot of other good ideas that would happen just fell by the wayside. And see, even more so now, I would think it would be.
They understood the power of the moment. After that Grambling game, I was in the locker room, and Coach Rob held court for a good half hour.
Mm-hmm.
And people could see that he was tired, but he didn't mind answering questions. He didn't mind talking.
Yes.
It was just like
– twice. Yeah.
Yeah. It was wonderful.
Yes.
And it's like, okay, here's a taste of what we were talking about. And I remember seeing 100 Yards of Glory when I was a little kid and how they were talking about how they had to flag the trains down for them to stop where Grambling University once was. And I'm talking to this man. And I'm like, he's a damn legend. And everybody else accepted that premise too. So for the idiots who wanted to make stupid statements about stats and all that, there was a good 6 or 8 of us just sitting there holding court with the man, and he was just happy to talk about it,
mm-hmm.
happy to talk about what they had done, what HBCU football meant, all of that stuff. And we reveled
mm-hmm.
in it. And that was passed on when Grambling played Portland State and Doug Williams was coach. And Doug was talking in the very same manner. I was there with maybe 3 or 4
mm-hmm.
reporters, and he was holding court just like that. And he said, next time,
mm-hmm.
y'all better make sure we get a bigger cut of the pie because they came out here to see us. And they did. Those
mm-hmm.
people filled
mm-hmm.
the place up for that game.
Mm-hmm.
And when the Grambling
mm-hmm.
cheerleaders and the ladies went out there with the band, well, they lost their bloody rabbit blanket mind. I'm like,
mm-hmm.
it's a full house. It was only 35,000 in the stadium, but the house was full, and the stadium was in downtown Portland. So everybody, you were getting looky booze all over the place and stuff like that. And it's like, this is just a taste of it. You know, there has
yeah.
to be a way to perpetuate this so everybody gets the full gist of this. And people were wearing their colors from all the HBCUs there on the West Coast.
Well, see, by
mm-hmm.
this, you know, let's face it. That's what I think all of us collectively have been saying for so long in so many ways,
yeah.
whether it's Gary saying that they should do an HBCU super conference or Fred
mm-hmm.
saying that they need to get their money right and really sell what they, because see, the thing that's so bothersome to me, and look, when one of my favorite times when I was living in Carolina was that I was lucky enough to have a couple of sit downs with Big House Games, and I briefly got a chance to meet Coach Mack, very, very, very briefly, but I was actually able to spend, you know, a couple of real good times with, you know, with Big House. And to me, as like I said, there was the it's the reverence, because that's history we're talking about. You know, he walked, you know, he walked in shoes that we could never fill.
Exactly.
You know? And see, what you know, I'm glad that there's still enough of us around that still need, that still want to push. You know, not too much push the envelope, but just tell the story, because see, what's the most bothersome thing, and I know we sound like a broken record when we say it all the time, but it needs to be repeated. I get so tired, you know. Here's an analogy I'll use. I talk about my, you know, hatred, you know, for those motherfuckers in the Bronx. The sad part about it is that what embarrasses me more is that the team that I root for is afraid of their own shadow. In many ways, and the thing about it is, they've cultivated as much of a following and as much of a history for New York baseball and just baseball in general that they should be able to stand alone on their own merits. But they're afraid. They're so afraid of worrying about what people think and whatever. And that is so bothersome to see that in HBCU sports, because their history. You know, again, it mirrors what we talk about when we talk about BASN Newsroom. We honor the past, present, and future history of the black athlete. The black, you know, again, black athlete is the most imitated and most innovative being in all of college professional TV sports. And and for them to still be sleeping on the legacies of Big House and Coach John and Ben Joe and so many others who should be mentioned in the same breath. It is so bothersome. And see, what's even bothersome to me is that, look, I went to Southern Connecticut State College / University, whose claim to fame is maybe like a couple of decent professional football players, a decent gymnastic program, and soccer and what have you.
Yep.
Their history pales in comparison to what these CIAA schools, SIAC schools, the MEAC, and the SWAC, and all the independents, all and in between. It is so bothersome that they are literally afraid and almost ashamed to give their story.
Yes. You're so right, but the church say ow.
The church say ow.
Well, see, gentlemen, see, you all are helping me write the foreword and some other stuff for the book I'm doing on men's basketball, because, you know, and I don't say this loosely, but you all visited what I lived. Y'all know how many times I got cussed out by Big House. And that was during school and after I graduated. Because, but you know, as we have looked at not only him, but others. And because, I mean, Will and Bailey from Virginia Union and Norfolk, two schools that I personally hate, you know, but there's a certain reverence.
That's why
we have to tell our own story. It will be easy for us to say, well, they ought to put this in there and they ought to put that in there. But they don't know these things. Big House came to Fayetteville and spoke at Fayetteville State's athletic banquet one year. You know this man stayed up to, let's see, he threw the last of us out of his room like 4:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And he just sat there and told stories and all these kind of things. And, you know, when you go back and look, you know, these are the people that the others don't want us to know about. And then these, unfortunately, not a lot of us are even curious about such people, because they are the ones that built the game that we love now.
That's right.
And if you know anything about them, like my two favorites, the four corners offense and the fast break, those are Coach Mack's babies. Because I'm actually in the process of rewriting some stuff that, you know, to either bring more emphasis to that, because, you know, everybody, well, you know, Dean Smith almost got his ass fired because he didn't know the four corners and he didn't know how to run the fast break. So,
let me throw something else in that. Fred, let's remember, after Black Magic came out and we had the producer on one of the shows that we connected with, we asked him, you know, has anything changed? He said no. And the fact that you were on there providing information, you would have thought the first thing ESPN would have did was to say, no, the real innovator and the creator of the four-corner offense was Coach Mack. Did they say that? Fuck no. They said Dean Smith. They didn't say boo. They didn't say a damn thing. How could you produce a documentary that provides legit information and then negate it in almost the same breath? This is why I don't like the fucking mouse.
Michael, have you not observed white folks over the years?
I know. As a matter of fact, I'll take white supremacy 4,000, Alex, regarding on field.
As Dr. Shepherd used to tell us, and I'll say this without profanity because that'll take all night, but he used to tell us, hey, white people, when white people discover something, they will take it as their own, or they will demonize it if they don't understand it, or they'll destroy it.
They will.
It's like the monster movies. I know you're saying, what does he say? It's like the monster movies.
Mm-hmm.
All monster movies are the same. The creature, whatever, is you know, someone messes with his domain, and he or she is like, hey, why y'all messing with me? I'm just trying to live. Well, you must allow us to examine you and to show and to see what you're all about. Man, I'm just trying to finish my sandwich. Leave me alone. Oh, you won't allow us to mess. You won't allow us to mess with you. Kill him.
Mm-hmm. See, Godzilla was from the hood. That's exactly what was my mindset. I don't blame him for roasting Japan. He should have fucked everybody up. But I digress.
Mike, just piggybacking on what Fred said, I from Dr. Binyakin a long time ago, God rest his soul, when he said when it comes to history, it goes from black to Technicolor then to white.
You ain't lying.
There you go.
Get the church out for real. Gentlemen, I have to, because we are short on time. We must go to the field generals, because we are talking about white supremacy here. There's a reason why the success of these players rises and falls to the NFL's delight. Now, right now, the field goals are 18-12 in terms of one loss. And, of course, this includes games where they played against each other. But we know since the advent of the mouse doing their thing that there's always going to be some poison talk that's delivered and dastardly dealings behind the scenes. Now, take the case of General Mahomes, who lost to San Diego, and they got a pretty decent quarterback in Herbert. But
good game.
Mahomes
too.
He threw three picks, and Edwards-Helaire fumbled twice. But the amazing thing was just one more position of possession, Kansas City would have won the game, even in spite of all that. The Baltimore Ravens let the Detroit Pretty Cats hang with them all game long. The Pretty Cats looked like they were going to pull
out. That was crazy.
And it woke me up because there was a kid who was streaming on the line, and he was, oh, pro Lions, oh, let me get me out of there. And here's Justin Tucker, best leg in the league, and he proves it outdoors, or rather indoors, with a 66-yard kick. And I didn't get to turn the volume up, but I would imagine, because the Lions have just done to them by New Orleans, when Tom Dempsey kicked that kick, one of the players talked about all he heard was a thud. And then the ball crossed the bar. Tucker got all of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mike, week 8, 1970. Ain't no way that half-foot MF are going to make that field goal.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Fast forward, you know, week 3, 2021.
Ain't no way
he going to make that field goal from so long.
And how much money changed hands on that kick? Now, because it's only 36 points total, I would have to believe that anybody that had the under got paid. But you better believe, if you bet on Detroit to beat Baltimore, the payout would have been similar to Howard beating, who was that, UNLV? And
UNLV,
little money you'd have put up, you'd have got a huge return. You better believe gambling is majorly in vogue here, and they ain't playing.
Because the Niners games, they beat. The money, the points man was three.
That's right, three. And they won with a 51-yard field goal. That's like,
yes, sir. There was a person as of Sunday night, out of the 32 games, 16 games played, had won every game but lost on Sunday. He had won $2 million. Monday night game killed her.
The announcer on TV, years ago, you couldn't say already on TV. They were broadcasting on TV, man.
Oh, man. They're not joking.
The money's so upfront now. And again, the idea of the preposterous information ongoing, if a quarterback doesn't wipe his butt when he goes to the bathroom, it sickens me. Because of the fact that there's so much other stuff going in the game that should be looked at to make the game interesting. And particularly for people like me, I look at the whole field, not just the quarterback. Because, again, I drove a white guy crazy, but, you know, like, I care. When you talk about Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback, and he said the greatest player ever to play football, I'm going, stop.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I'm going, stop.
Oh, Lord. Michael,
trying to get a new closing, because ESPN sold your closing.
See, I know. But you know what? If it helps people, this doesn't bother me as much as some of the other crap they've pulled. We know ESPN has tried to thwart stuff we do at least a dozen times, and we had them in check each time. So we're not surprised at that. But what I am talking about is that every week these brothers get on the center and do what they do. They need to understand what's behind it. They need to understand it's not as simple as just winning the fucking game. Yeah.
Mike, except for poor Justin Fields last week when they tried to hang that brother on – what did Bernie Mac say? They tried to beat the white meat, beat him down to the white meat because he had a dumb –
It was worse than that.
What was done to Justin Fields was four quarters a slave. They beat the shit out of that boy. They beat the bowels out of his fucking game. You hear me? That was awful. Miles Garrett had 2.5 sacks. Yes.
The only thing missing was that they didn't name that after their game, they didn't call him Toby Fields. That was the only thing that was missing.
It was close. That's right. It was close. It was good for Toby, man.
And the trick, and what makes me so mad, I told Mike before, I'm so freaking tired of these people talking about offensive guru. What?
Mm-hmm.
If your name ain't Cooley, if your name ain't Walsh, if your name ain't Paul Brown, ain't no offensive gurus.
Shut the fuck up. Exactly.
Yeah,
and you know, as we see all this, we know some people don't care because they get worried about hitting that 14 teaser or just getting their money and whatnot or betting a fucking fantasy football. But underneath all of this, this is a war about leadership. You know, we know Patrick Mahomes is a natural leader. We know Russell Wilson is. We see Lamar Jackson maturing as we speak. We see Teddy Bridgewater slowly emerging from the pack. You know,
and give
they don't want some it.
Credit. Cutting a man's name.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, Mike, much like my sister, who has been like a Denver Bronco fan for years, is basically going to adopt Teddy Bridgewater. Apparently, Teddy's going to be joining us for Thanksgiving dinner this year. I don't know how she's going to do it. But
we need Sister Gal to take care of Teddy Bear because these subplots are going to add to the propaganda that these people put forth. Now, I know Mahomes is great. I know Jackson can be great. I'm proud of seeing Bridgewater just keep going on and not worrying about anything but the score at the end of the game. But you better believe, as this continues, pay attention to what these cocksuckers say during the course of the week. Watch the Adam Schefters of the world, who will sit there and talk out of both sides of their mouth when he is already invested in a gambling app with the president and owner of the New England Patriots. You know, they want people to forget that. They ran Tank Black out of the business because he was doing stuff just like this. Are you fucking kidding me?
Michael, they're attacking Russell Wilson. They're attacking Patrick Mahomes.
Yes.
And Jackson, all three of them, as they attacked this week, they bombarded them this week.
Well, unless you want them to play both damn sides of the line, you need to shut the entire fuck up.
That's right. Thank you. Listen, what they do is what they're envious of. Nobody has ever thrown balls from as many angles as Patrick Mahomes. You know, nobody has ever soldiered on a one-on-one basis consistently like Russell Wilson, who has won every year he has been a starting quarterback and still, even in spite of the losses they took now, has won more games than any other quarterback in history as far as the number of years they played, and that includes Tom Brady. But they won't tell you that. What they will tell you, though, is that they like the fact that Russell's getting his black ass beat down to the white meat, and of course they're going to revel in Justin Fields and all of the others and Kyler Murray, but we don't care. What we want to make sure that they understand is that this is bigger than them, as Nino Brown would say. You got to go forward with this and not worry about anybody else but the final score. Handle your business. Kyler Murray is handling his business. Russell, they'll fix the fucking defense so they'll not run over Seattle like they've been doing these last 2 weeks. Jalen Hurts, get off your ass or I'll start saying it. You ain't shit either. Bottom line, all the brothers know they got work to do. Get to it and get to it.
Mike, considering we got 35 more weeks of football, hopefully they got enough time to get their ass together. The first, we always talk about, the first 4 or 6 weeks or so are almost like, you know, developmental football. And even more so this year because of the shortened preseason and everything else. But it's like watching Roots or like watching, you know, a long ass movie. The beginning of it is probably not going to be all that cool. If you know, probably by you get to the middle of it, oh, okay, this is good. Let me go get some popcorn. But you know, I'm looking forward to down the road because I do, you know, every year we always hope for it for a Soul Bowl, and I don't think it's a matter of if anymore. I think it's a matter of just when now.
That's right.
Yeah.
And the closer we get to a win, the more we see the pressure turn up.
Guys in his striped shirt. Did more damage this past weekend than everything.
Gary, they're just getting started, man.
They're just getting started,
and it's that's why it's been tough to watch like full games because you can see stuff happening. And anyway, I'm warning every person on the thread here. If I even hear that you're going to be watching that game Sunday, I'm going to personally drive to your home and cut off your cable or what have you. I have already got tapes set up. I'm going to be on YouTube all Sunday night. I will not watch that four and a half hour infomercial, otherwise known as, you know, Patriots versus Bucks. No. I would rather watch 24 hours of the Hell No Network than watch that game.
There you go. Okay.
But Mike, I hate to say it, that gambling money is going to roll out there like water cooler on Niagara Falls.
You know it is.
Is Belichick gonna kiss him on the lips or kiss him on the ass at the end of the game? You know, is Gronk's gonna catch the first touchdown pass? Who's gonna be able to sack him? You know, will his skinny, ugly ass wife be shown on TV for the umpteenth damn time? You know, someone hand that woman a fat burger immediately.
Mike, very quickly, Mike, my boy, and Mike, you probably know Doc Stanley, don't you?
Yes, I know Doc.
Doc lives in Brazil half the year, another half in the States. Doc in Brazil works with entertainment companies and whatnot. So one day, Doc sent me while we're doing the season some pictures because he was doing some entertainment stuff at a Brazilian beauty contest, or what I call a Brazilian booty contest. So
Lord have mercy.
He sent me the pictures. And I'm going, Lord have mercy. All of a sudden, we get Tom Brady and the Madison Avenue. A looking Brazilian woman as she's a Brazilian a beauty. If you saw her and the booty contest I saw from the contest that Doc had, she couldn't place. She couldn't even get on the stage.
I know that's right. But you know, in most cities in Brazil, it's unlawful to be on the streets after 9 p.m. if you're ugly. So we know for a fact.
That might as well be a lifetime ban for me from Brazil, I suppose.
Well, anyway, I want to get the final thoughts. I thank everybody for coming on and giving some wisdom to the pot tonight. Daryl, since we ain't seen you in a while, please start it off. Give us something for the pot.
Listen, so it's been a minute, but I'll say this. and you guys may have spoken on this. So, the government, Republican, Democrats, same page, different sides of the ass sheet. They invited 95,000 Afghanis to a land that they never wanted to come to.
They come on.
They implement the Civil Air Force, which means all airlines have to go over there and pick these people up.
Right.
You don't have a choice. Haitians that departed Haiti 2 years ago, went to Brazil. They walked from Brazil to Texas. They walked again from Brazil to Texas. Because Biden says, hell, if you just make it to the country, we'll let you in. We're now deporting Haitians that left 2 years ago back to a land that, A, had another earthquake. B, their president was assassinated.
Murdered. Yes,
and dropped them off. Right? We flew from Ramstein to the States. For people who had. It's an outbreak right now of measles. Kids are sick with maybe one air marshal on the airplane. You fly the people from Laredo, Texas back to Haiti. There's 15 air marshals on the airplane. I don't know what it is that will eventually wake us up as a people. But there's something wrong with that. And that's why my black ass is home, because I'm not flying no Negro, whether it's a cousin I like or don't like.
I heard that.
Where they left. You fled the country. That's just deep. Another thing, food for thought. About 4 weeks ago, the DEA was tracking a ship bringing drugs from South America north. Lost track of the ship. The ship embarks in Haiti. What happens in Haiti a week later? There's a major earthquake. Robert Kraft sends our airplane down to Haiti and takes 34 people, maybe 1,000 pounds worth of luggage. The northbound flight carried 25,000 pounds of luggage. Freight back up. Unknown freight. Fact. Not speculation, not YouTube. 25,000 pounds coming back with no passengers. Who was in that aircraft?
Wow.
It's Robert Kraft.
It's Robert Kraft.
And once you get caught and a brothel talking about it's a massage, give me a break.
Fred,
if that's a massage, then I'm the Grand Wizard. That's all I'm going to say.
That's what I'm talking about. D, thank you for that. Wherever you're going, please fly safe, because we know just because you're paranoid don't mean they ain't looking out. And that's exactly what we're talking about here. Thank you for that. I think I heard Reginald's voice in the background. Reggie, are you there? Is Reggie there?
Reggie in the sandwich.
Bringing up sandwich stuff for everybody. Patrick, give it up, please.
Another addition to the NRL, but this time from the ACC. ACC wants some student athletes, backed up by some administrators, want to take another look at the NRL specifically for this. And I said this prior to them hearing about it. They want the government to be in charge with some of the aspects of it, because the equity of what's being distributed by the NRL is not being distributed to everybody, particularly in states that limit the amount of access to the viability of what can happen to the NRL. Case in point, from down south, the kid that's at Ohio State now, Quinn Ewers, that everybody wants,
He got a $1.5 million contract, and he ain't right. seen the field. He's seen about much of the field.
He's seen the field yet.
Uh-huh. And ain't going to play this year. And the situation was messed up. The kid, Henderson, is killing him and didn't have nothing until Aubrey stepped in and gave him a deal. The point is,
right.
what it's going to hurt some schools that have not implemented this rule on the NRL, particularly in mm-hmm. southern schools, because we got folks who live in the 1940s about sports, and it's going to hurt some recruiting. Clemson, do you hear me?
Yeah.
Are they still, Mike, I have to do it again. Now, is Dabo retired yet?
That's right. Don't let your ass hit that doorknob as you walk stage left. Professor, good work tonight. And elucidate further with some good shit for the pot.
Well, as I told others who had angst about the situation in Haiti, don't act like this the first time the United States has meddled with affairs in Haiti. They've been doing
Amen.
It for a long
time. Amen.
This past, I guess it's called president or premier, prime minister, whatever he's called there, was eliminated a few weeks ago.
Oh,
I
am. Okay.
That's about three or four that we've removed.
Yeah.
None of them have died. Only one that has died slowly because they shipped him off to some other country. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this has become a pattern between the United States and Haiti, going all the way back to 1803 when they kicked when Haitians kicked the construction. Those poor, dilapidated, ignorant slaves in Haiti defeated Napoleon's army. And I just
about it.
And Fred, they killed his sister. They killed his sister and brother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been paying reparations since then. And here's another thing real quick, man. You don't take your time.
Those are the kind of facts we have to put out on Front Street because nobody else seems to be interested. And they act like this is the first time. All the mother time was just your imagination. No, these are the facts that they choose to overlook. Now, back to spokes. Some of you all may think that I'm sort of backtracking on some of the stuff I've said about Neon Deion down at Jackson State. All he's doing, in my humble opinion, is amplifying certain things that we have been seeing all along. We know we got to tell our story, you know, because he made a big deal about putting the names on the back of players' uniform. Well, one reason that's not done in most HBCUs because you use a jersey for 3 years.
Right.
Which means if you graduate and if I graduate, my name is on the jersey, now how are you going to get it off and put Gary's name on my jersey because it's going to show. That's why that's done. Matter of fact, some places use jerseys as many as four and five years. So what you going to do there? You're going to go out and raise the money to get that kind of stuff. That's cool. But,
okay.
you know, there are some pluses and minuses with him. But like I say, you know, the only good thing that's coming out of it, in my humble opinion, is that he's talking about things we've been talking about for ages. And I think this is about my fourth or fifth year of working with Mike and the rest of you guys. How did I take that? But finally, as
Thank
I was
you,
saying
Professor.
Earlier, you guys are helping me energize me with on this book on HBCU basketball, men's basketball, because again, there's a lot of stories there to be told, and we're going to get some of them in place But this, just keep in mind, this is the foundation for the HBQ Heritage Center, because we have like 1,000 plus football players profiled, over 600 women's basketball players. We'll probably have about 800 or 900 men's basketball players profiled.
Yes,
but that ain't all. We're going to get most of the more important ones, but, you know, that's why we're going to build a building so we have a place to put it. The African-American Center in D.C. is good, but it leaves out too much about the HBCUs, and that's not right, so we're going to take care of that. You can reach me at www.blackheritageview.com, and we're on Facebook. We'll be posting starting 2 days. We'll be posting something almost every day to the end of the year relative to football, basketball, men and women's. So we'll be ready to sell books in about 3-4 weeks.
Shane, just in time for the holidays. Mm-hmm. Good one, Fred. Big G.
Oh, you caught that.
Come on,
so you caught that, huh?
That's right. Big G, come on in.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, there are 3 baseball teams who do not have an African American on their team. Two of the three are going to fail. I am appalled at the death of the Major League Baseball for allowing this to happen again. One team is in the Bay Area. I ain't going to name names, but one of them is the Bay Area.
Let me see. There's 2 teams in the Bay Area.
Oakland.
It's right on the tip of my tongue. It's right on the tip of my tongue. I can't think.
Anyway, as I was saying, these 2 teams have become the poster child for Major League Baseball. I'm not liking it. One team is a bad guy. They're trying to be a bad guy. The other team is a good guy. Now, if these 2 teams meet in the World Series, I'm going to be upset. I'm going to be really upset.
You ain't got to worry about it.
Yeah. Well, I think definitely with one. Here's one. The one that whose colors are similar to a military group who wears those funny hats. I don't think you'll have to worry about them.
Yeah.
Now those other ones that might wind up being something to deal with. I know the name. It's on the tip of my tongue. I can't
believe it. Like as I was saying, these 2 teams are going to the playoffs. Now,
I know
one of them.
They just missed, Fred.
No excuse for this. Mainly baseball got to do a better job. I'm sorry. You got to do a better job.
Well, Major League Baseball. Good G, sorry.
1 o'clock. Music box. It will be a interesting show on Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
It will be old school 1960s, 1970s songs.
Ooh, okay. I'm with you. All right. I like that. All right. Good one, G. Great Love and Cold. 1 p.m. Pacific time, Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern, the Stir Fry, 2 p.m., followed by Great Love and Cold at 4. Tony?
Dear Steve Cohen. Hire Theo Epstein. Trade
Thor to Cleveland and bring in Terry Francona. If you do that, I promise I won't shoot you in the foot, in the pinky toe when I see you in public. All I'm asking for, I don't really ask for much. I really don't ask for much. But if you can do both of those things for me, I'd be kind of indebted to you.
I heard that.
Thanks.
Okay.
Signed Epstein's mother.
Yes, Christmas list in effect. Well, I just want to finish up the evening with something to give a little thought to. You know, we were talking about the field generals and the extra pressures that they endure. Well, that would be no different if you were a pilot or a mechanic or a teacher or a physicist or a pharmacist. In our spectrum, we know we have traditionally done the most with the least and made the best from the worst. That hasn't changed. Generations have gone by. That hasn't changed. And we know that the sum total of reflecting on what we do, whether they say that pull yourself up by your bootstraps bullshit or any other crap, comes down to the left-handed acceptance that there's no inferiority factor here. We know it's been a superior thing for a long fucking time. That's why you spent so much money and waged so much nonsense and pseudoscience through eugenics to try to prove your point. It ain't working. So even in those moments of intense polarization and dynamic tension between ethnic groups, no matter what they say, to try to be complimentary, it will always come out as a derogative. Hear me when I say this.
Let me ask you something. We Italians, we got our families and we got the church. The Irish, they have the homeland. The Jews, their tradition. Even the niggers, they got their music. What about you people, Mr. Carlson? What do you have?
The United States of America. The rest of you are just visiting.
We'll see you tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern for Blueberry Iced Tea Groove. You want to clear the tree? Good night.